HarperCollins presents A Thimble for Christmas by Dilly Court. Read by Annie Aldington. For my new great-grandson, Riley Muggeridge. Chapter 1. Longacre, London, December 1875. It was snowing so hard that Amelia could barely see the houses on the other side of the narrow street. Large flakes swirled and whirled in an icy ballet, some of them sticking to the window panes like delicate feathers, only to curl up and vanish as if a conjurer had waved his magic wand. It would be dark soon, and Amelia strained her eyes to peer at the street below. Her father, Dr. Harold Sutton, had been called out on an emergency early that morning, but he should have been home by now. Since her mother's death, 10 years previously, when Amelia was just 11, she had done her best to take care of her father, a selfless medical man who put his patients first and his own well-being last. Amelia shivered and wrapped her woolen shawl a little tighter around her slim shoulders. She'd only just lit the fire, adding a miserly 2 lumps of coal to the burning kindling. But the feeble flames did little to warm the large room with its high ceiling and badly fitting windows. The old brass coal scuttle was almost empty, and if Pa did not get paid for his efforts today, there would not be enough money to buy food, let alone fuel for the fire. Harold Sutton was no businessman, and he often refused to take payment from his poorer patients. It had been his late wife who brought money to the marriage, but her allowance had stopped abruptly on her death. It was only recently that Amelia realised they'd been relying almost entirely on her mother's income. Her grandfather, Nathaniel Norris, a man who had accrued a fortune importing indigo and large amounts of guano, had never made them welcome at his grand house in Albemarle Street. Now his doors were firmly closed against both Amelia and her father. Amelia sighed. There was no point dwelling on the past. She had never had anything like a close relationship with her maternal grandfather, and she would rather starve than go cap in hand to him and ask for help. She moved away from the window and placed a soot-blackened saucepan on the trivet in front of the fire. She'd made soup yesterday from a few vegetables she'd bought in Covent Garden Market, together with a cabbage that had fallen off a barrow and been crushed underfoot. A few spoonfuls of pearl barley had thickened the rather tasteless concoction, which would have benefited greatly from the addition of meat, or even some bones. But the butcher was no longer her friend. A large bill that she was unable to pay had soured their relationship to the extent that she was not a welcome customer. It was the same at the grocer's shop, although she'd managed to keep the man in the dairy on her side by tending to a nasty cut he had suffered while slicing up a truckle of cheddar cheese. In fact, people often came to their door asking for her help for minor injuries and ailments. Amelia was only too happy to share her practical medical knowledge for a small fee, although more often than not, the remuneration was a poke of tea or sugar, a cup of milk, or a couple of rashers of bacon. It was getting darker by the minute, and the lamplighter was on his rounds. The gas lights on the pavement below created a friendly glow in the room, but did not give enough light to see by. In the end, Amelia took a spill from an old jam jar on the mantelshelf and lit the last candle. She added one more nugget of coal to the glowing embers and stirred the thick soup, although it remained stubbornly cold and unappetizing. She picked up a pair of her father's socks that she'd been attempting to darn, but it was a case of repairing what had already been mended several times, and in the poor light, it was almost impossible to make out the tiny stitches. She'd always loved sewing, and of necessity had made her own clothes, but also because she enjoyed creating something out of next to nothing. She put the socks aside and rose to her feet. If Pa did not return within the next 5 or 10 minutes, she would brave the snowstorm and go out to look for him. Perhaps there'd been an accident in Oxford Street, which was not uncommon when the road was packed with all manner of horse-drawn vehicles, costermongers' barrows, and careless pedestrians. The small...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?